Easter is the celebration that Jesus conquered the grave. But Pastor Ray Bentley says it's more than that. It's a truth that reaches through the corridors of church history to today.
Jesus is saying, I have resurrection power. Christianity is more than just, okay, I believe in Jesus, I'll live my life and try to do good, and when I die, I go to heaven. It means that right here on earth, you can begin tasting and experiencing resurrection power.
Spread the news.
Welcome to Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. This weekend, we celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It may be the most important holiday on the Christian calendar, but more than a holiday, it's a celebration of what the Lord's resurrection power can mean in our lives on a daily basis. Here's Pastor Ray now to begin today's study.
It's one thing to talk about Jesus' resurrection and his power, but what's exciting and the message we have today is he wants to share that same resurrection power with you and I. Let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you and pray and ask that the Holy Spirit will speak to our hearts, lead and guide us into the truth, and that knowing the truth may all be set free today to know you personally, to experience you, Lord, to have your life within them. Lord, these are such amazing and wonderful and beautiful people here that have come together today. I don't want one of them to be lost. I want all of them to know you. And may that be true today. We ask it in Jesus' wonderful name. Everyone said, amen. Okay, if you have a Bible and you'd like to join along, turn it to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. Luke was a doctor, he was a physician, and he brings out more of the compassion of Jesus than any of the gospel writers, probably because that's the physician's heart that Luke himself had. Did you know Easter is the most celebrated event in human history? More than 2.5 billion people are remembering the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And after all, you know, what a great message. There's a lot of bad news in the world. I think you would agree with that. And one of the reasons I like going to church, other than the fact that I'm the pastor, I'm supposed to be there, is that you get to actually hear some good news. Well, the disciples 2,000 years ago, Easter was not, the first one was not a good time, not an exciting time. And what were they feeling? Well, it's a little bit hard to describe. You have to use your imagination, but even though it seems from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John that Jesus had told his disciples, not only the apostles, but the women who followed him as well, look, guys, I'm going to Jerusalem this last time, and I'm going to be given over to the hands of wicked men, but this is part of the plan of God, part of the purpose. This is why I came, and they will crucify me, but here's the end of the story. On the third day, I will rise from the dead, and I will prove to you that I am who I claim to be, and I have the power I claim to have. If I don't rise from the dead on the third day, then I'm not God. But wait and watch, and you'll see. Well, they had heard this, but when he actually was crucified, apparently they lost heart, or they forgot what had been said. Verse 1, well, I'll read the first three verses. It says, now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. They were since the crucifixion, they were absolutely bewildered. And I wonder if I don't speak to someone here this morning who is in a similar place, bewildered. And it is true that every man and every woman of the Bible, it seems like, especially when we are young, that our first awareness of God and the fascination with creation and the idea of a creator and them being told, I can remember going to Sunday school and hearing about, yes, God and the creator, and there is Jesus, And I didn't fully understand it, but he always had a robe on, and there were sheep everywhere, and they said, he loves you. And I just loved him. I didn't know all the stories, or I hadn't read, you know, great deep mysteries of things. But every time he encountered human beings, I went, oh, I love this man. I want to be with him. And then you grow up and you have, shall we say, bewildering experiences. Every genuine believer will have a crisis of faith. Guaranteed, there will come things into your life you did not want, did not expect, curveballs, as it were, that will hurt you and will cause you to say, okay, look, I have trusted you, I have believed in you, and now this happens. Where were you? What happened? Why did this? And so we, to protect ourselves, harden our heart a little bit. We still believe, but we distance ourselves. If you've ever been in that place, or if you're in that place, welcome to the world of the disciples themselves. They were in that very exact same place. And look what the disciples had lost. They had lost Jesus. They loved him. They still believe in him, but things have changed. He's been given to the hands of their rulers, and he has been put to death. And another thing has happened recently. The fellowship, they'd been kind of going together with this little band, a group of men and this women that were following him, and it had all broken apart. It had gotten worse, what we call Passion Week. We get all excited from Palm Sunday through Good Friday and Easter. But the original ones were very bewildering, confusing times. From the people waving the palm branches on Palm Sunday, it got very intense all every day in the temple. And we had talked about how Jesus overturned the tables. And finally, a trial is held. He is accused and he is crucified. The disciples become so afraid that they scatter. As Jesus had said, the shepherd will be smitten and the sheep will scatter. They're not even hanging out together. Peter and John are together, but they're not with the other guys. It's as if the fellowship has broken into these small units. And no wonder. They are no longer apostles. Sent out? That's what apostle means, sent out. How do you be sent out from a dead Christ? And so all of this is going on. But then something amazing happens. These women come, they're crying. They see the stone rolled away. They think somebody has merely stolen his body. And then they have a supernatural encounter. Read with me, beginning in verse 4. Verse 4, and it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. The angels had to remind them of the words of Jesus. By the way, that's why we read the Bible. That's why we, when we come to church, we study the Bible. And maybe if you're in a place where, wow, I feel alone, I feel depressed, I feel lost, I'm bewildered much of the time, could it be that you need to be reminded and refreshed? One of the great purposes of coming together and having fellowship is to remember the words of Jesus that suddenly break the spell of darkness and bring you into the light, and your heart is rekindled, and that love of God is refreshed. All right, well, closing, look with me at verses 9 through 12. Verse 9, it says, and then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. And then I love how it mentions names. And these are real people, real individuals who also became real believers of the risen Jesus Christ. It was Mary Magdalene, you know her story, a woman that had been used and abused, radically transformed. Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles, and their words seemed to them like idle tales. And they did not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen clothes lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. Peter ran. They told him, Jesus has, he's risen. Peter doesn't believe it, but he goes, don't do this to me. And he runs to the tomb, and when he ran inside of the tomb, he knew, and he believed. And essentially, what Jesus is saying to you and I is that we can have that opportunity to know Christ personally. Matthew 16, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." You ask people today on the street, "Who's Jesus?" "Oh, well, he's like this, he's like that, he's a prophet, whatever." But then Jesus said, "What about you?" he asked. "Who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "You're blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You didn't learn this from any human being." Jesus' resurrection proves that he is who he claimed to be. He said some pretty radical things. Do you know that? Jesus said, and speaking of God, he always talked about him as his Father. He said, "I and my Father are one, equal. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. He that lives and believes in me shall never die. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world." Did you know there are 7 I am statements of Jesus Christ? And beautifully, in the beginnings, when God revealed himself to Abraham and to Moses, they said, "What's your name?" And he said, "My name is I am." That was the revelation given at that time. But then in Jesus, it was like the sentence became complete. "I am the resurrection of the life. I am the light of the world. I am your Savior. I am the Son of God. I am the Messiah. I am the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords." Jesus' resurrection proves he is who he claimed to be and has the power he claimed to have. Now, there are 3 benefits that come from that. Number 1, my past can be forgiven. And there's some scriptures in your notes. And let's read Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. Let's read that one out loud together. "He forgave all our sins. He canceled the record that contained the charges against us. He took it and destroyed it by nailing it to Christ's cross." I don't know how to really explain it. All I know, that's what the gospel presents and the truth. That God takes the brokenness of humanity serious, this disease, if you will, that's on the inside. We're made in the image of God, but something went terribly wrong, and we need to be healed. We need an antidote. We need salvation. Jesus said, "This is the way. I'm going to pay for your sins. I will die for all humanity, and by dying, I will have paid for your sins. And by rising, if you believe in me, you shall be a new creation for all time and eternity." When you give your life to Christ, everything you've ever done is washed and forgiven. It's powerful, the blood of Jesus. Secondly, my present can be set free. Ephesians 1:19, let's read this out loud. "The incredible greatness of his power for us who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead." Jesus is saying, "I have resurrection power. This is how much power I have. I can die and I will rise again. And you can die and I will resurrect you." He is saying, "If you will let me into your heart and life, I will bring my resurrection presence and spirit and power inside of you now." Christianity is more than just, okay, I believe in Jesus, I'll live my life and try to do good, and when I die, I go to heaven. It means that right here on earth, you can begin tasting and experiencing resurrection power. You ever feel like you needed more energy, more strength? You ever feel like you've kind of gotten halfway through a project and you just don't have sustaining power, as it were? That's why Christ came. He said, "I'll give you that strength." And in fact, those men and women who walk with God over the seasons of life find, like Moses, when you reach your adult years, your later years, their eyes sparkle. And they are strong in heart. They kind of grow because inwardly they are becoming like the Lord. The character of God is formed within us. And then thirdly, my future can be forever. Let's read John 20, verse 31, the last one. "But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, you will have life." All right. Jesus said this. I'm going to quote him. He said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and will open the door, Jesus said, I'll come in. No one else said this like Jesus did. You were made by God. God is your father and creator, but he wants to be your personal, he wants you to be his personal child. And that takes you. He decided that to create you and that he loves you, but you have to decide that you want him back. There must come a definite moment in time in your life where you ask Christ to come into your life, forgive you of your sins, and fill you with his spirit. Salvation is given as a gift. And that's what I want to give you an opportunity to do in just a moment. So that you could say, Pastor Ray, when you pray, pray for me. When I die, I want to go to heaven. I want my sins forgiven. I want to know that I'll spend eternity with God. I want Jesus and his presence and forgiveness and his power in my life. So I want you to just bow your heads, if you would. Just bow your heads and close your eyes. How many of you would say that you're not sure what would happen if you were to die? And by the way, do you know when you're going to die? No. Do you have any idea? No. Do you know how you're going to die? No. And yet, do you know how many people say, look, I know it's true and I know it's right, but I'm going to deal with it later. You're going to deal with what later? God later. You are going to deal with God and eternity later. How do you know you'll have later? The Bible says today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart, but open and respond and receive him. Let me give you several reasons why you may need Christ. Number one, are you lonely? Is there a loneliness? And it's not on the outside, it's something that's on the inside. You feel lonely. You walk around with this constant detachment, first of all, from God, and then you never really quite feel like you connect with other human beings. The loneliness is on the inside. Jesus said, I came to take away your loneliness. I'll be with you and in you, and you will feel me and know me, and I will never, once you let me in, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You don't have to face anything in life alone ever again. It's pretty powerful. Secondly, emptiness. Is your life empty? Do you feel a sense of futility and frustration? Nothing satisfies. It lasts for a while and then it fades away. And that's your constant experience. That's how we get addicted to things. Initially, it's great, it's wonderful, feels good, whatever. And then it has to always be more and more. And before you know it, the thing you did for pleasure, now you do as a slave and you torture yourself and torment yourself inside. You are empty. Christ said, I came to take away that emptiness. Wouldn't it be nice to wake up one day as a human being and say, I feel satisfied inside my heart. I don't have that gnawing emptiness anymore. Thirdly, how about guilt? We've all said things, done things that we wish we hadn't said. And you know, people have their arguments with God and even the Ten Commandments and their own rules of what's right and wrong. But you know, okay, so we've broken God's laws. What about your own conscience? This to me is the proof that humanity has a real problem and is messed up. You can have your own standards of what for you is right and wrong, and I would never cross this line, and the next thing you know, you do it. You can't even keep your own conscience, let alone God's holy, righteous standards. And what that does is you don't forget about it, and it messes with your mind, it messes with your emotions, and it twists you up. It's like a weight, and the longer that you carry it, the worse it gets. Jesus said, I will lift the burden, the weight of your guilt because I paid for it. You won't understand it, but believe me, what I suffered and what I did for you is powerful. Oh, how awesome it is to wake up in the morning and feel clean in your mind and in your heart from everything that you've ever done. And he says, I'll be with you and I'll keep forgiving you. Day by day, my mercies are new. And fourthly, the fear of death. Jesus said, I'll take away your fear of death. Death is just you'll fall asleep and wake up in heaven with me. What a gift. What a great salvation. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, how many of you would say then, yes, Pastor Ray, pray for me. I want to know that when I die, I'll go to heaven. I want to know that my sins are forgiven. I want to spend eternity with God. I want my loneliness taken away, my emptiness removed. I want to feel forgiven. And I want to know that I'll spend eternity with the Lord. If that's a desire of any of your hearts, just put your hand up high so that I can see it, and then you can put it down. I'll bless you. Let me ask this. How many of you would say, okay, but I've done that. I've given my life to the Lord, but I've lost what I once had. I've lost the closeness to the Lord. Yes, when I was young and I was tender-hearted, I was so spiritual. But, you know, life has come and things have happened and things beyond my control and sometimes my own foolish, stupid choices. And now I'm ruined. I'm a wreck. And I don't know what to do. I'm stuck. What can I do? You can recommit your heart and life to Jesus. And it doesn't matter. That's why Jesus told the story of the prodigal son and daughter. Prodigal son, and he has prodigal daughters. You could have walked 1,000, you know, miles and 1,000 steps away from God. And you think, you don't know where I've gone. You don't know what I've done. No, I don't, but the Lord does. Because he's been with you the whole time. And believe it or not, coming back is not a 1,000-mile journey. It's not even a 1,000-step journey. Just turn around. He's right there. But it's hard to have a relationship when you're back. It's turned to him. So repentance, the idea, is about turning around. You'll be amazed at how far you can go when you simply come to the Lord. And you get, you know, he says, I love you. You remember the story. He didn't chide his son and lecture him. And where have you been? I told you this had happened. He says, we're going to have a party. Get the fatted calf. You're having a barbecue tonight. Get out a robe. Get a ring. Rejoice. My son was lost and has come home. Hallelujah. That's all the Father wants. Come home. How many of you would say this morning, that's where you're at? You have lost the joy of your salvation. And you hear, what a beautiful day to be rekindled, to return, as it were, to your first love, to recommit your heart and life to Jesus Christ. He will not only accept you, but fill you with that joy that you once had. If that's a desire of your heart, wherever you are, just put your hand up high and then you can put it down. God bless you. Father, I thank you for these who have raised their hands. I pray that you strengthen them to receive all that you offer this day. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
Pastor Ray Bentley with important words about eternal life today. And if you'd like to know more about what it means to live the Christian life, let us invite you to go to our website at maranatharadio.com and click on Knowing God. And if you've made a decision today to follow Jesus, write us and tell us. We have some follow-up materials we'd like to send to you, and I'll give the address in just a moment. We're taking a break from our Ephesians series to bring you some special studies to prepare our hearts for Easter. And if you'd like a permanent copy of today's message, contact us and mention the title, A Bewildering Resurrection. It's available on CD for just $7. And again, the title, A Bewildering Resurrection. Go online to maranatharadio.com or address a letter to Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. And we're excited to make available Pastor Ray's latest book, The Holy Land Key. Pastor Ray, how does this resource help us make sense of our world? You know, our culture seems to be spinning out of control. We see examples all around us in the news every day. How will your book help us seek God in the midst of the foggy chaos?
Oh, that's a great question. And one of the things that I learned about prophecy is that it's not only predicting the future. God knows everything. God tells us what's coming. We have signs that we can be looking for, and I think we see many of those signs happening in the world right now. But the other layer is that God reveals patterns. There are things that have already happened in history, as it was in the days of Noah. So shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. There are patterns that are happening right now on the earth that really, for a believer, point us to look up, for Jesus is coming soon.
All right. Well, we hope you'll dig into these important insights yourself by way of Pastor Ray's book, The Holy Land Key. With all that's going on in the world, you can't afford to be unaware of what God has told us about the times in which we live. We'll be glad to send you the Holy Land Key. It's available to Maranatha Radio listeners for just $10. So write us at Maranatha Radio, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127. Or order it online at maranatharadio.com. Next time, join Pastor Ray as he returns to our studies in Ephesians. More from God's Word next time on Maranatha Radio. Maranatha, bringing the message of Christ's soon return, the whole gospel to the whole world. Maranatha Radio with Pastor Ray Bentley is an outreach of Maranatha Chapel, 10752 Coastwood Road, San Diego, California, 92127.